From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message entitled, A Picture of a Christ-Centered Life, part of this series in the book of Joshua. The text is found in chapter 18 and verse 1. Having finally completed their conquest of the land of Canaan, the children of Israel gathered at Shiloh, where they set up the tabernacle. Shiloh became the center of the nation's spiritual life. At the beginning of the message, Dr. Cairns explained that the tabernacle is the fullest and most perfect type of Christ in the Scriptures. It was constructed according to the pattern that God gave to Moses. Therefore, it clearly and powerfully sets forth God's pattern for a Christ-centered life. First of all, we've seen that God commands the lives of His people to be centered upon Christ and not around material things or even people. And then we've seen that the Lord enables His people to live a Christ-centered life. As the Lord's presence dwelt in the tabernacle, so the individual believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who provides power for the Christian. God's people are to live in the freedom of the gospel, not in slavish fear. Also, they are to live in the fellowship of the gospel, which speaks of public worship. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 14 and verse 10. Friend, go up higher. When first the life of grace begins in the soul, we do indeed draw near to God, but it is with great fear and trembling. The soul, conscious of guilt and humbled thereby, is overawed with the solemnity of its position. It is cast to the earth by a sense of the grandeur of Jehovah in whose presence it stands. With unfeigned bashfulness it takes the lowest room. But in afterlife, as the Christian grows in grace, although he will never forget the solemnity of his position, and will never lose that holy awe which must encompass a gracious man when he's in the presence of the God who can create or can destroy, yet his fear has all its terror taken out of it. It becomes a holy reverence, and no more an overshadowing dread. He is called up higher, to greater access to God in Christ Jesus. Then the man of God, walking amid the splendors of deity, and veiling his face like the glorious cherubim with those twin wings, the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, will, reverent and bowed in spirit, approach the throne. And seeing there a God of love, of goodness, and of mercy, he will realize rather the covenant character of God than his absolute deity. He will see in God rather his goodness than his greatness, and more of his love than of his majesty. Then will the soul, bowing still as humbly as aforetime, enjoy a more sacred liberty of intercession. For while prostrate before the glory of the infinite God, it will be sustained by the refreshing consciousness of being in the presence of boundless mercy and infinite love, and by the realization of acceptance in the Beloved. Thus the believer is bidden to come up higher, and is enabled to exercise the privilege of rejoicing in God and drawing near to Him in holy confidence, saying, Abba, Father. So may we go from strength to strength and daily grow in grace, till in Thine image raised at length, we see Thee face to face.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Once again, we're happy to make available to you the quarterly LTBS magazine. The current issue includes a series of articles dealing with three pressing questions. Is the Bible really infallible? Did Christ really die as a substitute? And is hell really everlasting punishment? In addition, this issue contains a missionary focus on the island of Malta, as well as the testimony of a Christian woman who found that God's Word brought her true comfort and strength as she dealt with the tragic loss of a beloved brother. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy this program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. If you are a regular listener to Let the Bible Speak and the programs have been used of the Lord in your life, perhaps you would be interested in how you can have a Free Presbyterian Church in your area. You may express your interest by contacting Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Our toll-free number is 866-877-5827. That's 866-877-5827. To learn more about the Christ-centered, biblically separated ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, please go to our website, www.fpcna.org. We would welcome your inquiries, and you may be assured of a prompt and courteous response.
Ecumenical apostasy is sending a very uncertain sign to the world. We're living in a day of delusion. And I want to tell you, and I trust that we will never forget it. In this day of delusion, the need for the Christian church is to put the silver trumpets of the gospel to its lips and to sound forth a message that cannot be misunderstood. The old gospel, the old biblical message, the exaltation of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, justification by free grace through faith in the merits of Christ, acceptance with God by a righteousness which is not of our own making, but is the free gift that God gives us in and through the Savior. that message, ye must be born again. Repent and believe the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That message needs to be preached with all the power that we can obtain from our exalted Lord. Christian, Christ-centered life must be lived around a true confession of faith. Otherwise, it is not a Christian life or a Christ-centered life. You see, even on a personal and individual level, as well as on the church level, John makes it clear in his first epistle that a biblical confession is the mark of a true believer, without which a person is not a Christian at all. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Who is a liar? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. This is the mark of a true believer. The point is that true spiritual experience goes hand in hand with biblical orthodoxy. Christ-centered life is lived around the faith of the gospel. It's also lived around the freedom of the gospel. Here I will deal more with the individual than with the church. The tabernacle in the midst of Israel was an emblem of a free people. It was God's statement, I have brought you into this land. I have redeemed you. I have set up my dwelling among you. You are my people. I am your God. You are not under the bondage of the nations around about you. This was the emblem of a free people. But more than that, it was the emblem of a justified people. You see, as you went in the gate of that tabernacle, the very first thing you met was the altar where the sacrifice was made, where the blood was shed. Israel was a people reconciled to God, justified and accepted on the merits of the blood of the atonement. Listen to what Balaam had to say about Israel in her association with the altar and the tabernacle. He said in Numbers chapter 23, and of course he was replying to Balak, who was asking him to curse Israel. He says, verse 20, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I think that's one of the greatest statements in Scripture. Here's an apostate who was being pegged to curse the people of God, and he would have done anything to be able to do it. He wriggled like a worm on a hook to do anything to get free to be able to curse Israel. But he says, God has blessed them, and I cannot reverse it. Christian, never forget that. Live your life in the light of that. There's not a devil that can reverse the blessing of salvation that God has given you. Christians have so long argued over the eternal security of true believers. There is no argument. There is no argument. God's children are never unborn. When they're born again, they're never unborn again. When they're justified, they're never condemned. When they're accepted, they're never rejected. When they're in Christ, they're never again without Christ. That's the testimony of Scripture. There's nobody, there's nothing can reverse God's saving blessing on His people. But then notice this. Again, an amazing statement. Neither hath he beheld iniquity in Jacob. Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. How could that be said? Did not the Lord himself point out Israel's sins? Did not the Lord himself chasten Israel for their sins? Yes, he did. But you see, Balaam was talking about blessing and cursing. He was talking about saving and damning. And he said, God has saved this people, and nobody can ever unsave them. God hath not beheld iniquity. Why? Because when God looked in the camp of Israel, he saw it covered with the blood of the Lamb. He saw it, if I could put it this way, clothed in the righteousness of the Savior. And when God looks at his people, he sees them clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's what the tabernacle proclaimed. Live in the freedom of the gospel. Christian, you, if you live a Christ-centered life, will not be living in the fear of the world. You'll not be living in the bondage of sin. You will not be living by the guilt of the flesh. You will find a new motivation for life. For when you have your eyes on Christ, when you see he is my righteousness, he is my acceptance, he is my perfect merit. I stand in Christ complete. I stand in Christ righteous because of the righteousness of the Savior imputed or made over to my account. When you see your life like that, and you live in the light of that, you live in a freedom that none but Christ-centered lives can ever know. But to live a Christ-centered life is also to live in the fellowship of the gospel. It's very interesting to notice in our text that the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh. You see, a Christ-centered life is never a solitary life. It is a life lived in fellowship with the people of God. It is a life that respects the place of public worship. This was the place of public worship. Now, obviously, personal religion was very important. Family religion was very important. These things are commanded in the Word of God. Moses had dealt with them all. But when the tabernacle was raised at the heart of the nation, the Lord was proclaiming, it is not enough to have your personal devotions. It is not enough to have what we now call your family altar. Those are important things, but do not ever underestimate the importance and the value of the combined and united worship of the people of God. You see, the place of public worship is not left to our choice. It is a command from God to his people. I don't want to get off on a tangent here. I'm very tempted to. Some of my thoughts on this subject might shock you. I think you will know if you've been coming to this church any length of time, indeed if you've only been here this morning, I think you'd recognize that this is not what is called a liturgical church. If it were, I'd have finished preaching about, since I've only been going 10 minutes, about 8 minutes ago. And I'm not a lover of the dead liturgy, either of Romanism, Eastern Orthodoxy, or modern Protestantism. But actually, when you go back in Protestant church history, you find that they gave a lot of attention to liturgy, not for the sake of having just one order of service, but because the meaning of the word is service. That's why we call a church meeting a service. You ever understand why we call it a service? It's because literally, the Greek word is, it's a liturgy. Christ as the minister of the sanctuary is, in the Greek text, the liturgist in the sanctuary. He's the servant. You see, when we come together, there is personal benefit, as I'll show you in a moment. There is personal benefit. There is mutual support. There is the interaction that should be among Christians. But those are only secondary features of public worship. The first fundamental part of public worship is it is directed Godward as a service to Him. And I think in our churches that has been altogether lost. We must... A service is a failure unless I feel a certain way or I derive a certain sensation. I am the last in the world to give you the impression that we shouldn't feel deeply in the house of God. I think we should. But it should only be the result of recognizing this is a service we are offering in the name and through the merits of Christ and His blood. That's why it's so important that the church meets together.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.